is no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
Love your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes. So, Benjamin Kissel.
Yeah.
What did you learn over your summer break?
I learned how to go camping.
Really?
I went camping in San Antonio, Texas.
That must have been very hot.
It was very hot, and apparently you're not supposed to have any fires, but I didn't read that until we were done camping, and I had a massive fire.
Why did you set a big massive fire in the middle of a dry desert?
It was in the fire pit.
Oh,
so everything was fine. Everything was fine. No problems there.
So you're not leaving ablaze. So you didn't leave Texas.
I'm not a
felon. And there's not like a bunch of stories about like mysterious Bigfoot sets national reserve to ablaze.
I'm not wanted by any authorities.
That's all I ask.
Absolutely.
All I want is to come back from summer break, everyone refreshed, re-energized. Not guilty of a crime.
Not guilty of any crime.
It's extremely important to
Absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely. I learned that I can sweat in parts of my body that I forgot existed.
Well, you have... The thing about us is that as we age, too, what's fun is that our bodies become more mysterious.
So, they do.
John Mayer. He said certain bodies are a wonderland.
That's
right?
One of his, disgusting songs. But I find that song to be disgusting.
It is, because mostly it's about, looking a very beautiful woman's crevices, any one of her crevices, which
sure.
I also, but I love that, right?
I mean,
his fan base
tends to be 13, but maybe not anymore. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not, whatever.
But the thing is, our bodies, they're becoming like a haunted house. Where you open up a door, and you think,
what's in there?
That's going to be his normal side of his body, but
absolutely.
Oh no, there's all these hidden nooks and crannies.
Absolutely, and of course, it's quite easy for us to lose weight and get in shape. We're just choosing not to.
You know what I learned over summer break?
What's that?
I work too hard, I care too much.
That's unbelievably, first of all, no.
I care too much, I give too much.
What did you do over summer break? Did you do anything?
I smoked a lot of weed.
Okay.
I learned Crusader Kings 3.
Did you do anything that you wouldn't have done if we were working?
No.
Anything? Did you do anything that was not normal?
I went
to
Moza, my favorite restaurant in LA.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I got drunk
fantastic.
On my couch.
Oh, great. Alone.
I grilled by myself.
That's sad.
It was nice.
It's sad.
I love the silence of the grave.
Yeah.
Without everybody being dead. Because then you know that you can choose to hear your loved ones if you want. But at the same time, they can go shush, shush, shush.
Absolutely.
If you want as well.
Well, welcome to Side Stories, everyone. Hope you enjoyed your Labor Day weekend. And hope everyone had a good end of summer. Because it's coming towards an end.
Oh, man. We're careening into it.
I'm a football fan, so I'm happy about football coming back. But I am not happy about winter coming. Although now we live in sunny Los Angeles. So winter is actually like a nice summer.
It's hotter than ever.
Isn't that interesting?
I want to say, first of all, Kissel, right before we got into the break, obviously, there was a little bit of a controversy. Kissel's obsession with tomatoes.
Well,
and
we're going
Marcus
through a tomato
asked,
drought.
Yeah, sure. And then Marcus,
that's true.
Yeah. And Marcus asked straight up, because I remember, and then I'm kind of haunted by this, because then Marcus, he asked, because we brought him as a special guest on Side Stories last week,
yeah.
And he's like, is this what Side Stories is?
It is.
You talking about tomatoes.
Well, why was he surprised about that?
Because he thought we'd be doing something else.
Yeah, because he works, his side project is a show that he equally does research for.
Well, he does too much work on that show.
He does way too much work on No Dogs. I mean, check it out. It's a fantastic show.
Fantastic. It shows. The work shows.
I mean, technically, we all have about the same ratings. We all kind of get the same amount of listeners. So is he technically stupid? We don't know.
Well, it's
because
not that he's stupid.
It reminds
in this
me,
one aspect, we're winning.
It reminds me of a gym teacher who asked his students, who do you think is the smartest teacher in the school? And all of them said, ooh, the science teacher. And the gym teacher says, no, me, because I can pay the same amount of money and I play with kids all day.
My whole thing is, ugh.
Dodgeball.
I
play dodgeball with kids all day.
That's a better sentence.
Thank you.
But there has been a big old one thing that came up. I got emailed quite a bit about this idea that this story about a semi-truck that was carrying 150,000 tomatoes had crashed on I-80 outside of Vacaville, California. And
Vacaville.
It shut down, or Vacaville, we're not sure.
I don't know.
And it shut down the highway. But that's the only tomato-based story I even want to bring up.
I think it's fantastic. No crime here. Have a little fun with it. It's a great day to be a little bird or any other animal that enjoys tomatoes. You do have free tomatoes here at this point,
unless,
however.
This was a vegetable terrorist attack.
It could be a vegetable terrorist attack.
Destabilizing, like when they let all the birds out, when PETA does that.
Absolutely. Of course, PETA is only there to make money and they don't actually save animals. So donate to the ASPCA, which is a fantastic organization.
It is. I think so still. I don't know.
Oh, they are.
I hope.
They are. They're fine.
Also,
anyway.
I want to say thank you to everybody who purchased a shirt with our combination of us and Meth Syndicate.
Yeah.
I Suck Satan's Dick in Salem, Massachusetts.
Red Dick, which really adds a flavor to it.
It does.
And I'm proud of everyone that's taken pictures and posted them on Instagram. I see it.
I can't wait.
And I'm happy. And I'm just going to say this. If you are going in for the job interview, depending on the job, most likely not going to want to wear that one.
Maybe not.
But if you're going to be like super cool janitor, maybe you do wear it.
Absolutely. If you want to come here hip and with it, you can wear it. But sometimes you're not always auditioning to be a DJ, are we?
Not anymore.
Not anymore. But
AI
is
taking over that as well.
But we're getting that. We're going to be getting that check soon. And we're going to be I'm going to reveal the name of the charity. We're not ready to blow it up because
MILFs. It's called MILFs for Guns.
Yes.
And
MILFs
we're going to arm MILFs.
Yes.
And of course, they're going to absolutely love that.
We're sending Lisa Ann to Afghanistan, even though the war is over.
Well, that's why she's needed there more than ever.
Yes, but we're gonna name that charity, but outside of the shirt mentioned, because they asked if we're gonna be donating to this thing for kids, can you please not say we're all sucking Satan's cock while we're doing it?
Absolutely.
But they don't understand, that's the ultimate satanic trick, because that's what real Satanists do, give in secret.
Absolutely, indeed. You must give. We have to help one another. Well, speaking of giving, this truck driver who gave the road 1,500 tomatoes, or 150,000 tomatoes, rather. Unfortunately, they did have some minor injuries, and they did complain of some pain.
What, the tomatoes?
No, the individual who crashed this, he said...
The guy went, oh, and all the chefs who came out, they were like, oh, look, it's a free tomato. And they came out there, and the cars were swerving and stuff, like, oh, someone is obliged my nice white chef's uniform with these corpses.
Yes.
Tomato corpses.
You are minimizing this a little bit, because there was two people in one of the cars hit by the semi, and one of those people had a broken leg. So now who feels like the tomato?
Throw some tomatoes on it.
Mm-hmm. Rub tomatoes on it.
That's called that Italian Robitussin.
Absolutely. And be very careful. According to the California Highway Patrol, tomato peels are slippery.
Well,
You go. In tomato news, we've covered it.
I am glad we did.
And we're the number one source for tomato news.
So far.
Absolutely.
Unless these fucking tomato bastards start getting into the podcast game.
Well, I'm just happy that the banana is gone. Who cares about the banana peel? Now we're on to tomato peels, and I think that's much more appropriate because it's the color of blood.
I also, tomato peel, it's not that slippery.
I mean,
a banana peel, it's not that slippery.
Well, it is if you slip on it. So anyway, what other stories do we have? We have one serious story, but
yes,
we'll get to that in a second.
Speaking of slips, this was one of my favorites, right? My favorite style of weirdness in our things that we cover, right? Because my favorite author, PKD, I know you'd be surprised.
Philip K. Dick.
I know you'd be surprised that Frank Herbert, I love Dune, but I don't know about the rest of his books. Where Philip K. Dick, I enjoy his entire oeuvre.
Did he write more books than Dune?
He wrote a couple. He had a submarine drama that was called
cool.
The Boys Down Below or something. He had a couple other things, and then but mostly he's known for Dune.
Okay.
Right? But Philip K. Dick is very important to me, and what we know about Philip K. Dick, have you done any of the reading, if you're a cool person, if you're someone I want to be around, you know,
I don't know
that
if those are mutually exclusive, but
he actually had what he calls a time slip. This idea that he had a sort of... It was a mental break in one way, or was it a mental success?
This isn't something that a bride takes off after she's married and she throws it to all of her bridesmaids. Hopefully one catches them so they can find love also.
I always find it weird in a wedding that you're supposed to go up there with your teeth and go up and you're like, your fucking wife's father is there and
some
you gotta fucking rifle around her pussy hairs with your mouth and fine.
I'm not married for many reasons, but one of them is I do not like wedding tradition.
We did not do a lot of wedding traditions when we got married because it's creepy.
It is
weird. I mean, you'd be like, I want to do that, but I want to do it at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Philip K. Dick is not one of those slips. Philip K. Dick had a real time slip where he believed he was approached by this non-human intelligence called Valis that shot a laser of information into his head that revealed to him that time was not linear and that he looked at a version of himself in ancient Rome that he believed was happening concurrently with our reality.
Sure.
And there actually, I was just reading an article by a occult author, Mitch Horowitz, that also has come forward with the belief that there is lab confirming this idea that time is not linear, that it is all happening at once.
Stacks on stacks.
And that precognition can actually maybe be proved in a laboratory to be real. I'm sorry, I'm touching your skin like this.
You are. It's very exciting because then it can always be 2011, the last year the Packers won the Super Bowl.
Sure, because he says, and this is with this weird, the way they figured it out in the lab, right? The way they figured it out. And this is weird, is that what they'll do is give you two vocabulary tests that they'll give a vocabulary test, a memorization, right? Where they give you a list of words and then you do a cold test where you try to repeat back the memorized words that you just did. But according to this experiment, what they wanted to say was that you'll do a follow-up lesson after you do the test,
okay,
where you have the same words, but what you do is you go through with an instructor after you do the cold test, where you go, here are all the words, here are what they mean.
A warmer test.
Yes, but what they show, according to this test, they said that they have a statistical analysis. There's enough of a bump that says more people are better at the first test when they do a test afterwards. So literally, the training that they got about the words after the test, because time is not linear, show that they were better at the test before the warm-up because they had already had the warm-up if time was not linear.
Well, you know, maybe they got a little too cocky with it and they really didn't try to use their brain to its full capacity.
I don't know. But
who
I don't know what all this means, but it points towards this idea that maybe.
Just maybe.
Maybe, just maybe.
Just
time,
maybe.
And the idea of time, lateral moving time, is not something that is real. Linear time.
I believe
real,
it. Right? Why not? And of course, because your ultimate fear is death, something I embrace on a regular basis.
You love
but
it.
You don't die.
No, you will. You, who knows? Well, eventually you do die, but your time.
Do you die?
Your time has been done already. And we are here just living out. You know, some people get really afraid because they think that that means fate and that we're locked into our fates. But I don't know.
No.
It's more just that time and everything. We have access to all times.
Yeah.
Right, apparently. But there is one place, apparently, where it is so common to have a time slip that's actually become known for it. And this is Bold Street in Liverpool.
Oh, in Liverpool, home of the Beatles.
Where the Beatles are.
Yeah.
Apparently, where the Beatles are has a bit of a urban legend, which is to say that when you go down the streets of Bold Street, you can see in this picture, it's nice.
It's a nice looking street. They have a bunch of different kinds of lights hanging. It looks like there's cars on the ground. It looks like there's people going to a sock hop, perhaps.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what British people do. We'll find out.
Well, sock hops.
In October, we'll find out. Mm-hmm. But he says that on Bold Street, that more than one person have slipped into another time.
Intriguing indeed.
There was one man, a man by the name of Frank, right?
Uh-huh.
Former cop. That's who you know he's believable.
Absolutely. They would never lie.
Never lie.
Absolutely.
One Saturday in July of 1996, Frank and his wife, Carol, he visited Liverpool to do some shopping.
Okay.
They went to Central Station and the couple, did they get a bit of a slip up there?
Oh.
They went down there and they went with a bit of a slipperoo to a different time period there.
No.
Right? Carol went to Dylan's bookshop in Bold Street to purchase a copy of Irvin Welsh's new book, Trainspotting.
Oh, Trainspotting. That movie makes me nauseous and
very
sick
disgusting.
And never do heroin. Please be safe.
But Frank said he was walking around. He was looking for about 20 minutes. He was walking in the street. Him and his wife split up. And they walked near. He was near the Lyceum.
He was looking for a CD. Put a little timestamp.
Yeah, so you know, because that's what we used to do all day. That's all we used
to do. Compact disc. I used to go to Weebies CDs.
Oh, me too. I remember
they
the
buy
CD
used.
Warehouse.
Absolutely.
I remember the CD warehouse understood that we were maybe sort of stealing from the back of Borders and selling those DVD sets to the CD warehouse because they were like, stop selling them here. We know you're stealing them.
Absolutely.
But he said that he went out, he was walking down the street, and then all of a sudden he stepped into a dead spot where it was quiet, highly, a little suspiciously quiet.
Oh my goodness.
And then he saw a small box van. It looked something from the 1950s. It sped across his path. And he's like, what the fuck? And he noticed that the van had the name Kaplan's emblazed on the side.
Okay,
right?
Maybe it's a deli.
Everybody knows the Kaplan's from a long time ago.
Okay, so Kaplan's doesn't exist anymore in 1996.
He crossed the road, he saw the Dylan's bookshop. It's no longer there.
Okay.
And they say, oh, well, one of the bibbidi bop. I went to go take a look at the bookstore there.
What was that?
No, no. It was another store. So the name of Cripps.
Oh, it was called Cripps and not Dylan's.
No, and he was like, oh, what's that going to be? And he found out it's a bit of a pharmacy then.
Whoa, right? That's not a bookstore at all.
He looked in the window of Cripps and he saw no books on display, but he saw windows of women's handbags and shoes. Right?
Whoa.
And he saw that people were wearing clothes that were in vogue in the 40s and 50s, and the men wore trilbies.
Trilbies, not What's a trilby?
I think it's a cock ring.
Yeah.
And you can tell. Yeah. You can tell by the tightness of lock.
Well, transfer me to that time period, please. I love a good ring.
Long overcoats. The women wore scarves, berets, pillbox hats, right? And the possibility, he said, like, what happened? Did I just, like,
what's
walk into
on?
This? He cited a girl of about 20, right? Who was dressed like she was 1996.
Uh-huh.
And he grabbed her, right? And he was just like, ma'am, what time are we in?
Now, is it possible he's just accidentally grabbed this woman or purposely grabbed this woman and came up with this story in retrospect so he doesn't seem like a groper?
No.
Okay.
He grabbed this woman, right? And he said, like, did you see that then? Did you see what happened, how everything changed? Right? She's like, yeah, I thought there was a new shop that had just opened. I was going to go look at the clothes, but now it's a bookshop.
So she saw Dylan's.
So she saw Crips. She saw it too, and then she got there and she realized it was a bookstore. Time slip, bro.
Time slip.
Yeah, man. Times keep on slipping into the past.
Wow.
If you're in Liverpool.
So he wanted to go buy a Eurythmics CD, and next thing you know, he's in a whole nother era, a whole nother century. And now the question is, where's his wife?
In hell.
Oh, no, my.
She showed right back up.
She did.
But that wasn't the only time either. There's been several instances of a time slip on Bold Street. This has happened again. This happened to another person because they were walking down the street.
Is it possible everything just kind of looks the same? You get a little drunk, you have a couple of beers, a little bit of suds in your tummy, and next thing you know, you're like, whoa, this is a different street than I remember because you're on a different street.
How dare you deny the impossible? It might be very... Yeah,
it could be that. I don't know. I mean, I'm also like totally, I'm down. I just feel like, again, if I'm going to have a time slip, can you bring me like someplace else?
Oh, yeah,
somewhere
man.
Cooler?
This is a story of a man named Sean. He was shoplifting in Liverpool.
And you know he's telling the truth because he admitted that he was shoplifting.
He was shopping. He admitted he was stealing, right? He ran away from a security guard. Right? This is like from your YA book. And so he stole something from a store. He ran away from a security guard.
Whoa,
thinking
he'd
like, get away from him. He then slipped into another toy.
That's a hell of a way to escape.
He's trying to shake off the guard, right? He turned into a dead end. It was called Brooks Alley. Right?
Okay.
And by this time, he was out of breath, and he started to get a tight sensation in his chest. I know what that's like. We're on the exercise bike.
Hypertension.
He soon realized that he wasn't just there anymore. Something was weird, right?
Yeah.
And then something was weird with the atmosphere. Now, he waited for the guard to catch up. That's how bad of a thief he was.
Right, yeah. Why would you ever do that? You got to get the heck out of there, man.
The guard never appeared.
Hmm.
So he thinking that maybe, hey, I'll give him a bit of the slip then, right?
A time slip.
He sauntered back out and he started to walk down Hanover Street again. And he realized something was wrong.
Is it possible that the guards, like the guards here in America, who are not legally allowed to stop you if you're shoplifting?
That's the best part.
Is it possible the guard just didn't care to follow him?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
But this time he went and he looked at the road, eh? The road, it looked different. And so did the pavement. And he noticed cars. The driving by looked very old-fashioned then. Right? And he's like, oh, the roadworks, the roadworks were
different,
there.
Yeah.
But then I looked, roadworks were gone then, right? And he saw the people around him, they were wearing strange clothes. And he crossed over to Bold Street. And there was, there's a traffic light there. It wasn't here before.
The traffic light wasn't there before?
Meanwhile, he's carrying this fucking,
God knows,
rubber butt he stole from the
dildo,
store.
Dildo,
right?
Something like that, yeah.
And he carried on walking, right? And then he's like, oh, something's fucking back. And then he realized... Off step back in time.
Back in time.
What have happened? And then he takes out his cell phone, right? So he still has got a cell phone, right?
Right.
So he takes it out. He's got all these people from another time period.
I mean, they might
walking
think he's a
him.
Witch or something with that.
I don't know, but he said no signal.
I mean, it's London. It's England.
It's
Liverpool. There's no.
No, London's a very big city.
London has the worst Wi-Fi in the country, in the world.
Yes, sure. Maybe. But still. Right?
Okay.
He went in, he was like, oh, no one's going in. He went over to his newspaper stand and he was like, what day is it, sir?
Yeah.
And he's just like, oh, are you deaf? Of course. It's May 18th, 1967.
Whoa!
He traveled back in time, dude. And what are you going to do? How do I get back to my own time? What about family?
What did he do?
Right? Right, so he sped up this pace. He reached the jewelers, right? He tried his phone again. This time it worked. And then he sighed with relief and looked around and he realized... His body and his side of the street had returned to the present. But then when he looked around, he saw down the street, It was 1967.
Well, isn't that something unbelievable? And I think that that's fascinating. And in no way is a cop and a thief untrustworthy sources for any of these stories.
But I want to know, have you ever experienced a time slip? Email sidestorieslpotl@gmail.com, because I find it very interesting.
I just want to go to a funner time.
I mean, I've had those. I mean, like, I'll blame. This is back in the day, but I definitely
will
blame.
I want to go to pre- 420.99. I want to go back to 418 because 420 was Columbine and then everything changed.
Everything changed.
And I believe that was also before Woodstock 99.
Yes.
So
things were chill.
It was just chill time.
But I kind of wonder because I know one time I was driving around LA. This is like one of my first pilot seasons in LA. And it was really the first time I got some good ass fucking Cali weed, right?
Sure.
You shouldn't be doing this. I smoked a bunch of weed and I was driving around, right?
Like, very dangerous to do, sure.
But in my mind, I remember driving down Sunset Boulevard about 2 o'clock in the morning. Oh,
nothing
right?
bad happens on that street.
No, dude, nothing. And I was driving out there and I remember that song came on that was like from the 1960s, been like, come on, people now. Smile on the brother, right. Everybody gets together,
try to love one another.
And I was driving down Sunset Boulevard. No.
Yeah.
Failed. The whole generation failed.
Yeah.
And I was driving down the street and I saw in my mind all the kids up again to Flower Power, right? And then they got the signs in the war. Yeah. No nukes. Nukes for jukes. Right? So that, I saw those signs.
Yeah, okay.
And then maybe for a second, like, I did sort of see that. And I was like walking. I mean,
maybe they were
like,
just protesting the war that we were in.
No,
currently.
Man. She was empty because the goon squads come around and they knock all the homeless people in the head if they're sleeping on the street.
I see.
And so I was walking. And I was like, man, maybe I am slipping back in time. Because I felt it. I felt what it must have been like. I saw in my head, I projected in my head what that time period must have been like.
You would complain so much.
Yeah, hey, I'm not there.
No.
No. Well, I feel like I would have been into the drugs, but not into the, who knows?
But you know what?
Like it was fun.
To be honest, the weed sucked. That's the problem.
Well,
the weed
was
not good.
It was
dirty swag. And I don't mind some swag. You roll up a big old joint.
Oh, yeah, I like it. I also like some mids. I've come around to mids.
Mids are just fine, but that's all you can get.
Yeah.
And then you have to go through your
body. But
did I
experience a time slip? Or was that just imagination?
Just your imagination.
Oh.
And then you would also have to go back to the drug dealer. But at that time, you really didn't want to hang out with your drug dealer because they were like a dude named Kai. And everyone knows their name was like Tyler. And he just like changed it last month.
Yeah.
And it's just really annoying. So you would actually be quite frustrated. Nothing on television.
No, I'd be mad about that.
Yeah, limited. It would go off the air at like 9.
Well, this is because I know what TV's like now. Back then, that'd be regular for us. And we wouldn't know how much we were missing out.
Live from your grave.
A roast as dark as the night, perfect for fueling the cryptid research and mad ravings required for your podcasting. Don't mind the red eyes, he's just trying to warn you of the bridge.
The bridge.
Finally, from the caffeine-addled brains of Springheel Jack Coffee and Last Podcast on the Left, we bring you Mothman's Red Eye Blend. Yes, delicious Panama beans. Go to lastpodcastmerch.com to order yours today.
What did we do when we were kids? Sometimes you would get drunk and you would take one of those shopping carts that was motorized and used for people who were supposed to have disabilities, but mostly it was just for morbidly obese people who ate themselves out of walking.
You're talking about it has the fun, flirty name of Rascal.
Rascal. A man, he got real hammered, right? And then
sure.
He went on a joyride on a motorized Walmart shopping cart.
That's
no, apparently
bad.
This is illegal.
What?
So, yeah.
I mean, stealing is probably the most illegal part.
His name is Aaron Gregory, a man named with two first names. So, again, you can't trust him either. He haphazardly drove this Walmart scooter down the aisles, and he ran into shelves and displays, and he created danger for other patrons.
Oh, he's just being chaotic.
But... And he struck a bunch with the scooter. But my question is, these scooters don't really get going that fast.
They can have you never been... Have you never been rubber tired? Was it flat tired?
Flat tired?
By somebody in a wheelchair?
Yeah, but also...
It hurts.
I'm sure it does. You got to get out
right,
of the way.
No, it's like Ed's taking care of his mom, his late mother's dog that's 15 years, is ancient, you know? And it always has a cone on its head. Tootsie. It always got a cone on its head. And the thing is, I was hanging out the other day, and the cone keeps cutting my shins because she can't see. She's blind as fuck.
That's why she's got
and
the cone.
She just keeps smashing into things with the cone, and it just hurts, right? And so it's the same thing. It's that shin pain.
It's kind of the same thing in a very, very different kind of way. So this guy, he's absolutely hammered, and he's driving around, again, in one of these motorized carts, which is so fun to do. do. But it turns out in his backpack, he had an open bottle of Smirnoff, and that was the vodka. And then Gregory was seen that night busted for driving under the influence. So he got a DUI. This is what we call a bender.
Well, yeah, he's having a bad Wednesday.
Depends. It's a Sunday, so he had a DUI Saturday night. And then Sunday, you still got to go to Walmart. But you're still hammered. You can't stand. So then on the way,
you can't drive.
Yeah.
That's for certain. So, you know, it's hard because there but for the grace of God go we. I think about that all the time, about how that man's just doing a killdozer on a real small local scale.
Absolutely.
I mean, he's frustrated with his lot in life. He obviously has a substance abuse issue, problem. If you're drunken and driving that much.
He also was waiting. He just delayed the hangover, and he just wanted to delay, you know, when you wake up and you do something real stupid and you're drunk, like get it to you. DUI, like that's just like, what happened? And then as your dream fades and reality comes in.
You realize all the things that you've done and like the bridges that you burned the night before.
Right, like how much work it's going to take to repair all of that and the thousands of dollars you have to pay for a DUI these days. Yeah. And then sometimes you lose your license for multiple months. Most of the time you do. So I think he just wanted to have one more day of pure bliss.
Yeah, and just like in the fog of booze and now like, we'll all handle this. Like, it's a long weekend. We can get to this on Tuesday.
Yes. And so anyway, apparently these vehicles can go 10 miles an hour. So he was charged with disorderly conduct and open containers.
Yeah,
and
it's the booze. If he didn't have booze, people just think he's fun. Technically, he's just like Nathan Fielder or something. He's doing like the prank comedy.
Yeah. Also, Judge Aaron Peacock. He barred Gregory from returning to Walmart for 6 months.
Oh, he loved that.
So
he can't go to
Walmart for 6 months. So you know, what a day for Aaron Gregory.
But you know what I would do if I was him?
What?
I'd park outside of that Walmart.
You can't.
Every day.
You can't.
Why not?
Oh, Walmart parking lot is Walmart, my friend. Absolutely.
Right on the edge of the sidewalk, though. That's what I keep being like, this ain't Walmart. That's
how you
know.
I think they're stalking Walmart.
Yeah, but that's how you know. That's if he's real, that's what he'd do.
Yes, also.
Because then he'd always make sure that he knows. Like, oh, yeah, so I guess I'm just across the street from the Walmart. You know, like you just do that. Just minding my business on public property.
You know, it seems like he's going to get another DUI. Also, if I didn't mention, this was indeed a man in Florida.
No way.
But anyway, isn't that kind of fun to remember what it was like to go around as a child with the motorized scooters? And we used to do the Piggly Wiggly. They would say, get off of those. You're fully capable boys to walk. But we're having fun.
I think more so the lesson is, I think a lot of people are like, how do I get what I want without a killdozer? That sounds like a lot of money and time and know-how.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you do. You'd be really surprised how much, I really think that you'd be surprised at how much government works you can muck up with just a rascal.
Absolutely.
You, a rascal, a heart of gold, and your version of America in the back of your drunken mind.
Absolutely.
And you can go out there and make the America that you want, which is completely ineffectual. Ground to a halt.
Absolutely. That's the goal there. Also, just an update on the Lori Vallow situation.
Oh, yeah. We'll get to that. The son is also now got busted for sexual assault.
So this family, I'm just going to say it's a family thing.
The whole family's fault.
Anyway,
well, there's a new documentary series coming out about it.
Yes. I don't know if this will be included because
also, I watched
this family can't, this family is just really horrible.
They're fucked up. I watched a documentary series about the Hillsong Church too, and they kind of made a big deal about it, but honestly, it's just a church. It's just that bad. It's just churches suck.
Right.
So yeah, it's a church. So it's bad.
That was the one interesting thing in San Antonio. There's so much fun stuff to do. So many fun bars and restaurants and good music. Seventh largest city in the country. Did you know?
No.
I have never seen so many churches in my life, and it's all like Rebel Church.
Church. Yeah.
But it's just like
a little different here. Yeah, like our guy's got an arm tattoo.
There's a couple by daycares, and I'm just like, all right, let's separate. Okay, let's separate these.
Because those are the ones that have the tunnels from the toilet in the basement.
Well, now
to
you
the
sound
church.
Like the guy I ran into at a bar yesterday.
I mean, I'm slowly but surly. I want to talk about the idea of. So if people like to jump out of a plane for fun, that's stupid.
I don't like it. I don't. It's always people who are like,
it.
I had a drinking problem. And now I just jump out of planes with knives in my teeth.
You're talking about Travis. That's literally the idea is that people get sober and then they do something even more extreme.
They always do it. Everyone. It's always just like, I got to get the bug up. I took up jiu-jitsu.
Man, like, it's crazy, right?
I don't know.
But what happens where, like, you guys are all chill with jumping out of the plane, but what if the pilot's not? That's what's really get bad. When the pilot decides to do this independent of everybody else, it's not good. A co-pilot, I like how they use the term exited a plane. in midair.
I mean, it is exiting.
He did. But it sounds like exit left or right.
Gotta go, bye.
Like, it's just like, no. During a North Carolina flight was visibly upset and possibly sick prior to departing without a parachute. Now, we give it up. We do have a specific section of listeners that are guys, that people that jump from planes. And I know for a fact that people, that they love that. They take pride
absolutely
in that it's safe and it's fun, and then they do it. And so stuff like this, I imagine, makes them pretty upset.
Well, the fact that we don't hear every single day how many people have plunged to their death from planes means it's probably relatively safe.
It's working.
I just feel like, for me, I never want to wake up and think, oh, that would be something to do today.
No, I'll never go to the plane. I'll never get in the car to drive to the field.
No.
It's
so active. You really have to do it.
If you somehow get me on the plane, the grip.
You would have to be a joke.
Oh, you would have to. You literally have to hit me with a lead pipe.
I'd hit you with a lead pipe.
And then I'd be like, just
but then you wake up midair. It'd be kind of fun. That could be kind of fun. I had a chance. My little brother turned 30 years fun. And we did the Jurassic Park ride at Universal Studios. And, you know, that last dip really gets you scared.
I love that ride. I love
passed
that
out.
All right, so co-pilot who, quote-unquote, fell to his death. It's just, again, he didn't trip over a banana peel or a tomato peel. He jumped. Now, he was in mid-flight to North Carolina. They said that he was sick, and he was described as visibly upset. The pilot in charge and the second in charge were initially on the July 29th flight, right? But only one person was on the plane when it landed.
And this was not
They keep saying this. They keep acting like it wasn't suicide. Like, he just I don't know what happened. So the plane, it was a twin-engine Casa CN-12 to a 212 Aviacarva.
Pretend like you know what that means. Yeah, I know there's not passengers on it, I don't believe.
All right, so here it goes. All right, so it had already flown two skydiver runs. It was on its way to pick up a third group. Right?
Oh, okay, so it was a skydiving plane.
It was a skydiving plane. Now, as Crooks flew the plane, this was the guy that fell. As Crooks flew the plane on his descent to Rayford West Airport, the plane descended below the tree line and dropped, according to the report. Now, while attempting to get the plane climbing again, the right main landing gear impacted the runway surface. So he fucked up, right? The guy went, and so they were coming in, he dropped, they slammed. This is terrifying. So the pilot fucked up, dropped the plane, it hit the runway, bounced.
And then went back up,
right? So the other pilot took over.
Oh,
right?
You don't want that to happen.
So while attempting to get the plane climbing again, the right main landing gear, right? So it hit the ground, right? So at this point, Crooks was responsible for communicating with air traffic control while the pilot in charge flew the plane. So they hit turbulence approaching the airport again, about 20 minutes in the flight. And then he started getting upset, right? He was just like, oh man, I'm fucking this up again, man.
So you think he was mad ability to fly the plane.
I don't know, but they kept saying they said they quote unquote may have gotten sick, and then he said, which is just like, he's a pilot of a plane that's accredited, and it's because they're not trying to get any smoke on this, but he kept saying I'm sick, I need some air, and they're like, but yeah, but you're not in a Hyundai.
Well,
on the ground, right? You're in the sky. And so, he said, I'm going to need some air. And then he opened up the door to the plane as they were coming down and just threw himself out at the side of it.
Charles Hugh Crooks, that's his name there. I wonder, email us if you could, sidestorieslpotl@gmail.com. Can you get, when you're in the middle of the ocean, your brain starts to go crazy?
I don't know. Plane craziness? That's not good.
No, I don't want that to happen.
No, don't bring
I don't
this
think
up.
That there
we
needs to be
to
any, I don't
plane.
Think there should be doors in the cockpit.
No.
Why would I want these people to
escape?
Well,
this is a small plane. This is a real small plane.
No, I know. So he just probably went out the side.
Yes.
That's
scary.
He
was just like, see ya.
Goodbye. I saw a grumpy pilot the other day, and I was like, I wasn't even happy with that. It was just grumpsters. But anyway,
hey, why don't you try smiling more?
He didn't jump out of the plane though. So this guy was 23 years old, and he was discovered later in the backyard of a home. And I'm just going to tell you this: what a surprise for that homeowner.
I mean, that's a problem
when they're just like, "What's up there?" And then it just lands in your yard. And then if you have a child or even a dog, it's just going to be traumatizing. You have a lot of conversation you have to have that you weren't expecting
to
have.
Get too fucking exactly, because I don't want to bore people. But you know, like the idea, like. If you have a house, right, and you look out there, you know how much money you drop in these lawns? You know how much money is that? Each one of those lawns, you can put $2,000.
You think
grand.
That's the main problem here?
Yeah, I mean, he ruined the lawn.
He may have.
The pilot ruined the lawn.
don't know what the lawn looked like to start
I actually am really also kind of surprised. Maybe there's somebody out there that knows, because I know we have parachuters out there. So sidestoriesLPOTL@gmail.com. Why didn't nobody just grab him? Why didn't you just grab him? As soon as he goes for the door, you're like, obviously he's freaking out. Maybe there wasn't enough time. But like that idea of him being like, I need some air, and then just opening the door and then just flying out of the plane. Like, I feel like, isn't it a process to open a plane door? Like, maybe I'm wrong with those types of jump planes. Maybe I'm incorrect.
I think the whole point is that you open the door to jump out. The pilot in charge stated that the second in charge got up from his seat, removed his headset, apologized, and then departed from the airplane via the aft ramp door. So he did say, I'm sorry, and then he jumped. So obviously this guy was going through something. I guess he could have taken the whole plane down with him. So I don't know if you are the pilot in charge. Maybe it's just, I don't know what to tell you anymore.
Maybe it's happening so fast, or maybe you're coming into the runway too fast. And like, that's what it is. Cause he jumped out as they were reapproaching the runway. So he was coming down, they were coming down in the plane. And then I guess it's just like, you have to fly the plane. Cause if you don't, you're fucked too.
Yeah. So,
well, sounds scary. Well, hope that doesn't happen to us.
Absolutely.
Us on big planes. On big planes, then it might be difficult to do that.
I think it is. And most of the pilots are a little older.
You have to get through five people. You got to get through a bunch of people before you do it. Because obviously, a lot of times, you got to sit. That's what your job is. Because you got to sit first class all the time because of your size. If you see the pilot try to fucking kill everybody, you actually have to stop this.
I would stop that from happening. I've never seen that occur. The only time I've ever seen a fight take place near a cockpit is when a person demanded to go to the bathroom. But when the pilot's in the bathroom, they put the little gate out there.
You can't go.
Because you can't go. And then that person really freaked out. And I said, buddy, you're making this really difficult for all of us. And then I think that they did end up urinating themselves.
I hear what you got to do. You got to do what you got to do, man.
Absolutely.
It's a long flight.
Live from your grave.
Hey, what's up, everyone? How you doing? Ben Kissel here with Henry Zebrowski.
Yeah, it's me, man.
Yeah, bro. Henry Zebrowski is smoking some of that sweet last podcast on the left, babe. So go out there and purchase yourself some. I hope you enjoy it. We have sativa, we have indica, and we have a hybrid. And I have to tell you, from my personal experience, they are wonderful.
Super tasty live resin. You really get the delicious weedy taste, which is what I like. And
yes,
three different experiences. You go to your local vape store and get it.
Absolutely. Thank you all so much for supporting the show. We absolutely love you. Can't wait to see you on the road. And get that vape, put it in your brain, and have a good time.
And if you want us at your favorite weed store, give them a call and ask for them by name.
Absolutely.
Last podcast on the left, it's weed.
Hail yourselves, everyone.
Hail Satan.
Well, speaking of something on a slightly more serious note than having to go to the bathroom on an airplane, let's talk.
I want to cover this just real quick.
This is...
Because this is a story is unfolding. 10 people. Like, this shit's fucked.
Well, now they're saying upwards of 11.
It's 11 people died on a spree stabbing attack in an indigenous reserve in Saskatchewan, Canada. Two brothers are named as the people who, in the middle of the night, like, well, they say early morning, which for us is, like, still nighttime, so it's probably, like, 3-4 in the morning.
Well, that's very good clarification.
That's where we stay. But that's normally, like, that's nighttime.
The suspect is Damian Sanderson.
And his brother, Miles Sanderson.
And they are 30. Miles is 30, and Damian is 31 years old.
And they went from, apparently, they went from house to house in a small, it's in the reserve, and they just started fucking stabbing people together. But the big thing that was really, they don't know what's happening. They're on the lam. The biggest mystery is that, so they were brothers that were attacking everyone. It was Damian and Miles. They found Damien's body.
Dead.
Dead as well. They think that maybe the other brother stabbed him to death too.
Yes.
Fucking crazy. It's a wild story.
According to authorities, Damien's body was found with visible injuries, and they are saying it is not believed to be self-inflicted.
No.
So as we saw with the two people that escaped upstate in New York a couple of years back, I forget their name.
One was Sweat.
Sweat and White, I think, something like that. Anyway, they got into a massive fight because, believe it or not, when you go on a co-killing spree or when you both escape jail, maybe you're not actually really friends or close. You really get to learn who a person is.
Well, they call it trauma bonding.
Moments.
You know, the idea that if you went through disaster together and you get married, right? Like a type of thing, they call it trauma bonding. Like you fall in love with that person that you're with. But it seems that when you're both like career criminals stabbing a bunch of people, there's already a lot of like anger in there. And it's difficult. It fucks with your relationship.
Now, in a bit of a scapegoat argument, they're blaming alcohol and drugs. I would assume that if you're going to do a stabbing massacre like this, probably some crystal meth would help.
I don't know if they're drinking Sanka.
Yeah, I don't think they're really drunk on sake here, but the pair is accused of carrying out this attack, this deadly spree on Sunday.
Do they not make Sanka anymore?
It's just so sad. I don't know what Sanka is.
Sanka was a thing they used to do back in the day. It was a instant coffee. Do you remember instant coffee?
I do remember instant
coffee. It was disgusting.
It was nasty.
Yeah.
So this took place in an indigenous community in Saskatchewan, and 19 people were injured, and as we said, 10 were dead, and now 11 given Damon. So what a... I just can't... We don't know what knives they used, but this is so, like,
it's
that
wild.
Is, like, not easy to do.
No, it's not. No,
and
it is very
it's just
scary.
Devastating.
And that is one of the stories that's going to open up as we're going to probably learn about kind of what happened. Why did they target this town? We think maybe that they were from there.
13 different locations.
Yes, they went ham. They went crazy because a group shooting, like, not to, like, this is sad. But the reason why it's so prevalent, especially in America because of our access to the assault rifles, is that they're relatively, like,
it's fairly easy to do.
It's easy
not
to do.
Difficult to be a mass shooter
no,
in America.
No, you can just spray a bunch of people.
Yes, look
stabbing
at Stephen Paddock
a bunch of people to death is actually very physically difficult.
It is.
Because Ed Kemper, he famously said that because he thought that you just stab them once and they die.
Right.
But he realized, no, when you stab somebody, they leak.
They were traveling in a Nissan Rogue, and indeed they went exactly
appropriate
that.
Appropriate car.
So, yeah, we'll
That's
keep you
funny,
updated.
Though.
We don't know what triggered these people, what happened. Either way, it's horrible.
Maybe it was the Kim and Pete breakup.
Oh, maybe you're Pete Davidson and Kim Kardashian.
Maybe, I think that, I mean, ha, because especially, oh, and then when Florence Pugh was, oh, she was
I don't even know what that means.
At the film festival.
I know, I don't know what
like
it means.
I feel like that destabilized a lot of people, even just thinking that Chris Pine and Harry Styles could have any form of feud. I would kill my whole family, too.
That's what they say, Olivia Wilde. Anyway, according to Regina Police Chief Evan Bray, they said in a statement, we're confident that someone out there knows the whereabouts of these two and has information that would be valuable to the police. I urge you to get in touch. And then they talk about there's a lot of grief, anxiety, and it's just horrible for that community. So our hearts go out to that community, and it's just something I have never... I mean, we did have the knife attack in London that was terror-related.
Yes.
But this is just... It's extremely unique.
Straight,
and
straight up old-fashioned spree murder, Richard Speck style. So we'll see. We'll see how this pans out.
And 5 o'clock in the morning.
But you know what? You know who they aren't?
Who?
Heroes of the Week.
They are not heroes of the week. All right, this week's hero of the week. It's the Audubon Society. Have I made them a hero yet?
That's the people that do the birds?
Yes.
So that's the lord of birds.
They are
like,
the,
they decide what a bird legally is.
50 years worth of conserving the tern and puffin populations in Maine has
you
created...
You just saw the name puffin.
Yes. Has created a stable colony for thousands of breeding birds. Isn't
you know
that
what?
Exciting?
This is not bad.
This is
of
not bad.
All of the things, because society is a group of people.
Mm-hmm.
It's humans.
Absolutely.
It is saving birds. Puffin is disgusting meat. You don't want to
eat it. Don't eat my dog, please God. No. Located on Petite Menin and other small islands off the coast, the birds have absorbed the worst of the climate change during the 2000s. But they got too hot. But they are returning in large numbers of breeding pairs and fledgling chicks.
That's cute, though.
So there you go.
That's not bad.
So, yeah. They
and
like
then what they should do is the Audubon Society, which happens is humans should show up, right? And then create the Audubon Society, right? And then you take all these birds and shit and you put them all over a highway with no speed limit and you just fucking turn them into paste.
See what happens, sure. So the Audubon Society, it began in 1972. And they've been trying to recreate the breeding rooms for these birds for quite a while.
Man, and they
and
put
now
so
they
much
did.
The time and expense they put into these birds' fucking rooms. It was incredible. You wouldn't believe they have so much luby. I don't know what bird. Do birds have sex?
Yes, they do. They have corkscrew penises. In 2009, the puffin breeding pairs fell to a bleak 47. Well, only 16% of all tern chicks reached adolescence.
That's not an even number. How's that pairs?
I don't know. So using their leg bands, the team has, it's called Project Puffin, and it keeps track of the birds, and now they're doing just fine.
That's not bad. This is, honestly, folks. Folks,
folks,
listen here.
Folks, I've seen the documents.
Have
folks.
You seen what he just did? It's a real hero. You did it. Save the
Audubon
bird.
Society of Maine. Yeah. Unless, of course, these birds get in your backyard and take a dump all over the place.
Of course. Or if the puffins turn out they were like invasive and they destroyed, they destabilize the other population of other birds. I mean, I don't find
I don't think they are.
They're not but like there's always something we're wrong about. So we'll find out.
Yes, indeed. Anyway, that was about as good as it could get.
That's really good. That's hopeful. That makes me feel hopeful for the rest of the year.
There were some other heroes, but I just sort of forgot about those.
No, you did good. That's fine. To be honest, you fucking no need to try too hard.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? You got her in there. W's a W.
Absolutely.
Well, it's now time for some listener emails. Now, as a I'm enjoying this email because as a person that has watched, like, this is the one thing. We have a unique vantage point as people in the entertainment industry.
Sure.
About conspiracy theory, because I've watched conspiracy theory form about me in front of my own eyes that I know that is not true. Right? Like,
right.
You watch it happen on the internet. You watch a bunch of people say a bunch of shit that's not true.
Sort of like you with the Bud Light Lime.
Well, that is something that's called magic and marketing. And it worked. And it continues to hold to be true.
It was a margarita. It was my Bud Light margarita. Which, by the way,
it's already been done.
Big news.
What?
I'm a Michelob Ultra guy now. 96 cals, 2.2 grams.
So this is your diet?
Yeah. But I actually do like Michelob Ultra. I'm really a fan.
I'm a fan.
I'm a fan. You get it real cold out of that draft.
You were in San Antonio for too long.
Hey, I'm a Michelob Ultra guy.
Ooh, all right. Hey, I'm not going to take it. Hey, every man's got to switch up every once
Absolutely.
In a while.
Absolutely.
Right? But as a person that has watched things blossom in front of me that are not real, I know that this is a phenomenon that happens, and this is a really great example of it. Right? You see, I had my own brush with the satanic panic when I was in the eighth grade. This is around 2001, past what many would consider to be the height of the panic, but I lived in a small town in rural Virginia, so it never truly went away.
Sure.
This also happened to be the magical time I started to get unsupervised access to the internet.
Oh, my.
And even convinced my Bible-thumping parents to let me have a PC in my bedroom. I remember I did the same.
Oh, my goodness.
It was a mistake. It ruined my studies.
Well, it's probably best you weren't jerking off in the living room.
Naturally, this leads... I used to have to jerk off in the living room.
I
used to have the whole computer room, and then I have to time it in between. I used to actively jerk off while my mom was, like, making dinner, and have to time the cum. Right? To when she was done with meatballs.
Uh-oh, omelets are ready.
Naturally, this led to me and my friends talking shit in chat rooms, sharing absolutely vile images and websites with each other on Instant Messenger.
Remember sure. That?
Now, one night when my friend Brian was sleeping over, we were revisiting a well-known shock website for about the 1 millionth time. It was called Goatsy. Right? Now, as you probably know, it featured only a single image of a man bent over, spreading his anus open to the camera wide enough to comfortably cradle a grapefruit. Right?
I don't remember that one, but okay.
You don't remember Goatsy?
I don't remember Goatsy. Is it still up?
I'm going to look it up for you right now. So you can just take a look at it.
It's still up.
Is it? What are you talking about? Why are you covering this?
Well, because
Why are you covering this? No. Goatsy Unfiltered. What is happening to this fucking
You're on
internet?
Google. You got to go to goatsy.com. Oh, it may have been taken off.
What?
It may be taken
off. You got to be. What?
I'm sorry, buddy. Time keeps on ticking into the future here. This is kind of a time slip.
What?
It's a bit of a time slip we're dealing with here, isn't it?
Uncensored. Goatsy Uncensored.
This is
fucking the nanny world we're in.
Welcome to my world, buddy.
This is the nanny world we're in. That's the fucking asshole right
there,
right?
There, sure.
We're not going to be able to show it, but right. Kissel's now seeing it.
It's medical. It's medical, yeah. Good.
Now please get off my screen.
I don't know if it warrants an entire website.
Well, that was because it was fun at the time, right?
Yeah.
All right, now we're looking at Goldsy, right? These kinds of images are commonplace these days, sure. Well, but not as much. Look at it.
Obviously,
we just tried to.
Oh, it's harder than ever to find a butthole on the internet. Yeah, that's a big problem.
So my friends and I, we adopted Goatsy as a kind of a mascot. Of course, a banner to rally under, a unifying symbol that we shared with other kids we thought we might find funny in kids we knew definitely would not.
Sure.
Right? It was a line in the sand.
Yeah, absolutely. I get it.
Now, anyway, my friend Brian and I were laughing about somehow a new detail we noticed in the picture, the wedding ring, the way it looked like the inside of a man's anus was frowning, when suddenly my bedroom door opened to my parents, but it was my 7-year-old brother, Cody.
Oh, my.
Now, I told him to get out of my room, but he stubbornly held his ground, right? And he said that he wanted to see what we were laughing at.
Oh, right? My goodness. He doesn't want to see that.
We obliged to show him. Right? Brian moved away from the gigantic CRT monitor he was shielding and let Cody gaze upon Goatsy with his young and innocent eyes, right? Unsurprisingly, he was confused by what he saw.
Yeah, it's confusing.
But as the image sank into his adolescent mind, he started to cringe, finding this hilarious. My friend said, "This is the Goatsy man. He swallows up annoying little shitheads." Right? But then he burst into tears and screamed. Right? Now, in a panic, we closed out the window before my mom came. She asked him what was wrong, but all he could say was, chokes, cries, was, "The Goatsy man! The Goatsy man!" Mom then asked me what had happened. My friend and I said that, like, I don't know what the fuck. He was already crying. I don't know what he was
talking about. Yeah, right? Kids cry all the time, right? Sure.
They calmed him down. He had a rough time getting to sleep that night. I was 12. I didn't really notice, but quickly forgotten about it, right? And he never tried. He said, to his credit, his little brother never once told his mom what happened, okay. Right? So it's like, all right, off the hook. Until a week later. The cool psychologist called my parents. Now, apparently Cody had been talking about the Goatsy man around his classmates and to his teacher. Right? He talked about seeing the Goatsy man and how the Goatsy man wanted to eat little kids. Especially all the adults seemed to think that he was saying goat man.
Okay.
Right? So years later, Cody told me the school psychologist, the principal, and some other people who didn't recognize sat him down to speak to him about this encounter with the goat man.
Right? A cryptid
and
indeed.
Had him go over it about a dozen times, each time twisting the story a little bit more. Eventually, the story became that he saw the goat man through a window instead of just a picture. And then they had him do a drawing of the goat man, right? Which, true to the original, involving hands spreading open an orifice, but now it was a large gaping mouth full of sharp teeth.
Oh, okay.
Right? Narrow, angular eyes and horns have been added as a way of some, I guess, because of some form of coaching.
Sure.
Right? Eventually, the principal and the school psychologist met with each student individually to talk to them about the goat man.
Nothing else was going on
No,
here, huh?
And even at that age, I could tell that they were both super horned up, trying to uncover some kind of deep, some ring, all right? They asked us if any stranger had approached us, all for satanic books, all right, who invited to play games like Dungeons and Dragons, right? Did that happen, right?
Have them read the Bible?
In the meeting, they showed us a copy of Cody's drawing to see if it would jog anybody's memory, right? Yeah. An encounter with the demonic goat man, right? And then when he saw the picture, the older brother saw the picture, he almost had a stroke trying not to laugh, right? Because he knows it's Goatsy.
It's Goatsy. It's a man's butthole, yeah.
And after the excitement over the goat man died down, I thought I was done with this terrible ordeal, right? And that was when my mom came to my room one evening. Now, while all this was happening at school, I believe my mom and dad were doing some prodding and leading of their own. They were there, and they were devout Baptists to the point of bombarding us with the usual fire and brimstone.
Sure.
And times, blah, blah, blah. Now, when my mom came in, she very calmly asked me, why does Cody finally admitted to her that she had seen the goat man in my room?
Right. Why would she say that?
And I tried to play stupid again, but she smelled the bullshit, and she kept pushing. Now, I wouldn't say my parents were abusive, but it's a question that I had to ask myself a few times, right? She's like, let me see. Let me see what you showed him, right? I was like, no, I can't tell you.
I can't tell you this. Definitely
the more insistent she became. So finally, he's like, all right.
Oh, wow. I wouldn't do that.
No, never.
No, you can't. No. You have to hold that lie.
He pulled up the website, right? She stood there looking into Goatsy's gaping asshole for what felt like an eternity, right? I could see her face undulating between anger and confusion. And finally, it landed on disappointment.
Especially
because
so
I think she got swept up in the excitement of the witch hunt, but mostly because she learned that her oldest son was spending his time looking at a man's gaping open asshole.
That's a funny joke. Right? It's beyond a gape, to be fair.
She left my room without saying a word, and they just never brought it up again.
See, that's actually very nice of them.
They had to just move on. I just find it interesting. Just remember, these are where these things can come from.
Absolutely. It's where they always do. All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening.
As always, man. It's good to be back.
It's great to be back
with
you.
We're on them radio waves, man.
Well, we're on a podcast.
We're out here. No, radio waves.
But we do
waves.
Do Sirius, which also is not on radio waves.
No, it's like a radio.
That's the whole point.
Kissel, you got to love your life being the new version of a radio DJ. You got to laugh. You and me sucking on a stogie. You were talking about before about how you let a stogie just go out and let it be wet. Honestly, and I'm glad you do that because, you know what? That means you're going to live to a solid, ripe age of 58.
58, but with the skin of an 80-year-old.
Yep. God, I love those cigars for you, man.
Absolutely. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you in Pittsburgh, Buffalo, and Northfield, Ohio. And I believe all those shows are doing really well, but there's probably a couple of tickets out there.
So oh, yeah. Can't wait, man.
If
can't
you can get a chance, come and join us. We don't have many U.S. shows left.
It's coming, man. It's coming to an end. These are all the end of the 2020 dates.
Oh, my gosh.
It's almost 3 years left. later,
oh,
dude.
Oh my God.
It's been a great trip, though.
Crazy.
It's been so fucking good being on tour and seeing everybody, and I can't wait to see people in the UK and up in Europe. And then all the way down in Australia. Down and I learned under. A proper way to do an accent is you're supposed to tie in the upper lip.
Oh, isn't that something? All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations.
Bye. Hail me. Bye.
Bye.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.